This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
We are back, folks. MGO Blog Roundtable. The fellas are here. Now, guys, I don't know if you've been having as much fun as I have this week. I think your Brian probably does.
Well, it's better than the alternative.
Yeah, you take pounds of flesh from Buckeyes and Spartans, don't you, when you have the opportunity?
I'd like to know what the opportunity is for the former, but...
Yeah, I hear you. basketball.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but... Football, obviously, those opportunities haven't really presented themselves of late. No. But football, Michigan State, on that side of things, they definitely have, and emphatically so this year.
Yeah, I've been saying this all week, Sam. It's over. It's over. Like, they're graduating 7 guys off their defense. They're losing their quarterback. Their recruiting class is, you know, behind Georgia Tech and Kansas. It's over.
Yeah, I think Mark D'Antonio thinks the same thing, don't you, Ira? I think he's been channeling Florida Evans. About the state of Michigan State football.
Down.
That's right, Mark. That's how I know. That's how you feel it. And it's just...
Next question.
Everything that you had is just not there anymore, Craig Ross.
I'm feeling sorry.
No.
Why?
There were some really nice, sweet MSU fans in my section. And they were so depressed.
Two.
Yeah, but still.
Two.
And they made, and when they left the game, they were so.
Cut his mic.
Two Spartan fans?
No, Craig.
To paint your perception of all of Michigan State.
Well, I know. That's how I ordinarily feel, but they just made me feel guilty.
You got to think about the athletic department.
Didn't one Michigan State fan ask you to do some weird sexual act once?
Yeah, she did, but...
Channel that, and I had, Ross.
Like in a bad way?
Yeah, I was. Okay. It was after. Yeah, I don't want to. I can't say it on the air.
Wow.
But, Craig, I think you're taking the contrarian point.
No, I'm not.
Two Michigan State fans.
And I'm not so sure Brian's right about this.
I'm
not sure that they're dead as a program.
Okay, so what makes you think? Give us the other side, counselor. Why might they not be done?
They've got two really good wide receivers coming back next year at
Julian
least.
Barnett.
Probably three. Barnett, White, and Nalen, who was out.
I think that's really stretching the...
Collins is a good running back.
Mm-hmm. Are those
Simmons,
guys getting drafted?
Stewart, one Panushak, and Dobbs might end up being a good player. I mean, there's not like that program is completely bankrupt. I agree. They're not. They'll be a worse team than this year, particularly since they don't actually have a quarterback. I don't know.
It's hard to be as bad or worse than what they have out there. I mean, good grief.
I won't say
that I felt sorry for D'Antonio.
Yeah.
But I looked at some of the passes that Brian Lewerke threw.
Yeah, there were some bad ones.
And I said, man, what can you do with that? What can you do with that?
It's better than what Rocky Lombardi put out there last year when Lewerke was hurt.
Lombardi, he's like a guy throwing an anvil.
Dude, you gotta hope. The two interceptions, like the interceptions Lewerke threw in this game, what are you doing?
Those were terrible.
Well, he doesn't have the arm strength to throw off platform, so if he gets moved. That's what happens.
Yeah, you hit him one time and he's like,
I don't know if it's about hitting him. It's just about the fact that like he has terrible footwork. So like, if he has to move at all, it could go anywhere, and it did go.
And it did go anywhere. Yeah. Right. So if Lombardi is worse than I don't know you know what the inner workings of their decisions are. But I just feel this is deference to a senior guy.
I think that's their best guy.
I think that's their best guy.
If he is that much better than Rocky Lombardi.
Dude, come on, man. I think, isn't that obvious? I mean, you've still seen Lewerke make some throws this season. Lombardi couldn't do anything, and Lewerke couldn't do anything with his bum shoulder last year. I mean, they're significantly better than last year on offense. Significantly. They're not in the hundreds.
I have a question. last year, number 48 looked like a real player.
Kenny Willekes.
Yeah. On Saturday,
I don't know. Any theories?
He actually did some work. Like, I'm not going to say that he's not still a good player.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's just that Michigan had a game plan that was excellent for contesting the Michigan State offense, and this is why Michigan State is over.
Okay.
This is not your grandfather's Michigan State. Did you see a single safety line up at 8 yards in this game?
No.
You saw safeties line up at 12 yards, at 15 yards.
Yeah, man.
There's safeties. That's
but you can't get away with that quarter stuff anymore because people have learned how to absolutely bomb.
Was it the? I think it was the little one, the little swing they threw to Ronnie Bell where the safety was like in Timbuktu, man, and he has to come down and cover Ronnie Bell on that play.
Or that RPO to Collins, just the slant where it looks like it's 2015.
Yeah. Yeah.
And these are like new.
I mean, that was probably a busted coverage, right?
No, it was not. It was just an RPO where the safety.
No one would.
Man.
I mean, the safety was 20 yards deep.
Like, yeah, but that's not a bust when you're that's where you're lining up.
No, but there was literally no one covering him.
Well, that's what happens on an RPO.
That's what happens on an RPO, exactly.
And then you have those three little dump offs to Bell where he's like the third receiver and trips. They run the RPO, and the entire linebacker level deletes itself, and there's no one within 5 yards.
Yeah, I asked. You're absolutely mean. These things are so evident. Like, I asked Al. It's like, man, how is he reading? How is he reading the bubble side when the running back is positioned opposite the bubble? And he said, no, that's not what he said. You're right. And what's happening here is he's seeing pre-snap that there is no one covering.
Yeah,
there's no one covering the receiver. So I'm just going to abandon. I'm going to abandon the run. I'm going to throw this bubble because I know it's there. I know it's there because of how they're lined up. And it was all game long. It was like cherry picking almost.
Well, right. Michigan, this we talked about the Notre Dame game where that felt sort of more like a Harbaugh thing than a Gattis thing. This felt like a Gattis thing. Because we're talking, I mean, I just in terms of like.
Just how it felt.
Just how it felt.
I get you. It wasn't that way.
What does that mean?
Well, it means with the Notre Dame game, you had a lot of linebackers going the wrong direction because Michigan was running traps. They were running stuff that got guys in wrong gaps, which is what Harbaugh's trademark was for the first few years here. Didn't see a lot of speed and space. This game, you have the bubbles. You have a couple of jet sweeps to Giles Jackson. You have the speed option to Charbonnet. Mm-hmm. They really stretched Michigan State horizontally.
Yeah.
And that was what we were looking at going into this year. And so this felt like what I wanted the offense to be at the beginning of the year, which is like, okay, you have all this edge stuff. And then when it's a possibility, you go up the middle. And Michigan State's defense is built to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think if you disregard the wildcat snaps on the goal line, some short yarded stuff, you're looking at probably a 2-to-1 pass to run ratio.
The only reason why I interjected there because you know people are hung on this narrative that's exactly what happened, that they went to grabbing some plays or last year's playbook.
I mean,
why
would that be bad?
It's not that it's bad. It's just false. It's a false narrative. It's just not true. If you look at the Notre Dame game and all those traps that they ran. This is Alabama. This is Alabama schematically.
Honestly, that doesn't make me feel better.
I don't know why.
If you have an offense that's struggling and you have Ed Warner and Jim Harbaugh on your coaching staff and you don't go to them and be like, I need some help here, that doesn't make me feel better.
So two things. I think you need to set the talking points in a way that I think maybe would make you more comfortable. I don't know, but of course, look, if you are an offensive coordinator under a head coach who is an offensive guy, you're damn right. I mean, there's no question that there are some talking points or some things, some objectives that he wants you to meet. I want this done and it's up to you to figure it out. But as a first year coordinator and the first year on a team, when you step into it, there might be things you practice the entire spring. Things you practice all the fall camp, and when you get in games, they just don't work like they did in practice. Things that you run, it's like, oh man, we got to figure some things out. We got to shift some things around, and I think that's what happened. They ran a lot early in the season. Guys weren't executing them quite as well. They had a lot of turnovers in there. You get around Rutgers. Now you recalibrate. You reset. You say, all right, let's find the things that we can do consistently. You find those things and you build from there. But if you look at these things, and I had, again, I asked Al to do it. I said, man, go back, because I went back and looked at three Alabama games just to try to get a feel for it. I asked Al to go back and watch full Alabama games, full Michigan games, and compare them. And he said, there's no question, there's absolutely zero doubt that Michigan schematically is closer to Alabama 2018 than Michigan 2018. Up to the Notre Dame game with all those counters that you saw them run. Go back and look at the Alabama tape last year. You see the exact same play, same players involved. Everything looks the same except the players running.
I mean, I read that stuff and I just don't buy it. Like, no. I specifically don't buy what Al's trying to sell, which is that because Michigan didn't run as much pin and pull in this game last year, it doesn't mean running a pin and pull, which you did a lot last year, isn't going back to last year's offense. Like, that's just like...
I sat down at length.
There may be some reason why.
I know. I sat down at length.
Sure
I sat down at length with Sharon yesterday. He said the same thing. He said, man, look, that's just not true. It's just not
so
true.
This seems like excessively defensive. Like,
it's excessively killing a false narrative.
But if Michigan is going back and they're running a bunch of plays they ran last year, and you're trying to tell me that they aren't running a bunch of plays they ran last year.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that they didn't run a bunch of plays that they ran last year.
Like,
yes, Michigan ran pin and pulls last year.
Why are we,
Alabama.
Okay, but why are we why is this such a big deal?
That's my point.
Who cares?
Why do we
happened is that the offense went a lot back to what they did last year. So you're not I mean, it's true. Like, on the goal line, they're running pin and pull. They put Mason back as a fullback. They're using pin and pulls. They're not running inside zone on every freaking play.
If it's not a big deal, then why do you keep saying that they're running last year's stuff?
If it's not a big deal,
it must be a big deal to say it.
Because they literally are running last year's stuff. And, like, last year they ran a ton of arc. They ran a ton of split zone. Early in the year, they were running arc and they weren't running split zone. So the run offense didn't make any sense to begin the game, to begin the year. And now it makes more sense. And if you're telling me that it doesn't make more sense because our offensive coordinator didn't go back to the guys who built that run offense last year, that does not make me feel better about the collaborative nature of what's going on here.
I will tell you that, as I said before, as I've been saying all season, you start out the year with a plan, thinking that with your new personnel.
It was a bad plan because the parts of the run game didn't fit together.
I guess why is there no room given for a transition? When you step into a room for a transition,
but what we're talking about is an offense that didn't make sense on the field. And if we're talking about offenses that don't make sense on the field, you're talking to the guy who is the king of that in Al Borges.
But wait a minute. but that may be the case, according to some people, but a guy who knows more about offense than anyone else talking about.
And he put Denard Robinson on the center, and I will never forgive him for that.
More about offense than anyone else analyzing it. Anyone.
Well, then why is his offense so bad?
Why did Michigan get under 200 yards in the bowl game? Was he an offensive coordinator for 10 teams?
Did he ever recruit
did
a quarterback
for 40
who started
years?
At his
who,
school?
Who else,
no.
Who else providing analysis has coached for 40 years and been offensive coordinator for 10 teams?
I think we need to acknowledge that the Michigan players executed in this game against Michigan State. Shea was great, and the blocking by the wide receivers was exceptional.
Yeah,
that was not something we had earlier in the year.
That's a good point, Ed. I mean, the wide receiving blocking was really excellent.
I don't know what happened there.
You saw really good blocks from 4, 8, 7, 9, and 19. 19 got called for an illegal block, which was an absurd call, in my opinion.
You got a name.
I know, it's just Sanders.
Anyway, getting back to why it's important, the reason why it's important is because it takes away from the credit that Josh Gattis deserves for growing the offense. It takes away from the credit that he deserves for coming in at the beginning of the season, finding out what different guys could do. And certainly it's not like it's a monolith, like he's the only one, like he doesn't talk to his assistants. Sure he does. But from the start of the season until now, game plans are Josh Gattis. play calling Josh Gattis, period. There is no change, no shift in that. And again,
nobody's saying
yes,
that.
They are. Well, yes, they are saying that.
So what I'm saying is that if you take an offense and then you do a bunch of stuff they did last year and someone compares it to last year's offense, that makes sense. And what doesn't make sense is running arc without split zone.
Okay. Okay. And so they, as he went on, they ran more split zone and more,
all right,
more bluff
so,
off of that.
So what we had is we had a first-year coordinator running stuff that didn't make a whole lot of sense. We have a very...
I think you're skipping over a huge part.
No.
I watched
33 carries for 100 yards against Army, and all of that was inside zone.
I think you're missing a huge part. You also have some big issues on the turnover and execution side that mars sure, everything that you do.
But I don't understand why there's this pushback against the idea that
I just told you why.
Offense, okay, but to me it's just insecurity from a guy who isn't set in his place. And like, if he's telling you that like he didn't take any stuff from what Michigan did last year, that doesn't make me feel good. So just stop saying it.
My goal isn't to make you feel good, though. My goal is to tell you how things are. If that doesn't make you feel good, I can't help that. But I'm telling you how things are.
Like, I just don't understand why, if you're the offensive coordinator, you would insist on not doing the things that worked last year.
That's
I think a number of these things are all relevant, right? Gattis came in, he tried some stuff. It wasn't working. He's clearly evolved, and part of that is just better execution from his players. And, you know, it's not – you guys can both be right, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like,
I mean, there's Ryan is right in the sense that the Army game did make no sense as far as I can tell.
That was really frustrating. And that defense is not good. As the season is going on.
Yeah, I mean, Army is not a good team, and we struggled moving the ball against them, and that isn't... I mean, there was something wrong there.
Well, part of the reason is because Michigan didn't actually do the speed and space stuff until quite recently. So Army was playing 10 yards off, and did we see a bubble in that game? No. And you see that when Michigan threatens the edge, you get better runs up the middle. Like, they ran one of their flare screens, and then the next time they ran up the middle, one of the Michigan State's linebackers was looking at the edge the whole play. So they've done a much better job of actually executing Gattis' vision from the coaches on down. So if you don't call a flare screen, well, then there's no speed in space. So Michigan had some real hiccups early in the year, and I think those go back to the coaching as well as the execution. And why don't we move on past this and actually be happy that they completely...
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought this was going to be a happier show.
I'm all in for that.
The point that got this all going is that, like, so the Notre Dame game kind of felt like Michigan putting linebackers in the wrong gaps, as Harbaugh's done for 5 years here. And this felt a lot more like Michigan looking at a defense that spends seven guys on the run every single play and being like, well, this is actually easy to exploit in a way that Michigan has not done in the past.
Right.
So that was...
Like, yeah, no, I thought the game plan was good. I mean, they came out and threw on five of their first six plays. It didn't really work. The next drive didn't. I mean, parts of it worked, but they stuck with the idea that it's going to be easier to throw against the Michigan State defense than try to ram the ball, and it paid off.
All right, folks, I'm getting the break sign. We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. So let's point the attention at the beatdown of Michigan State. This is a thing that I agree with Brian on. We agree more times than not that this is it for Michigan State. That maybe if you are Mark Dantell, you do have some talent coming back. And I do believe that the pride that he has, I mean, give me one more shot at home and we'll see how it goes. I think that's what he's thinking. He's hoping that it'll be better. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't see it getting any better. You talk about what they have coming back offensively.
Yeah.
Defensively? Dude, do you see their corner situation getting better?
No.
The defensive back situation getting better?
No, I agree that this year's Michigan State team will be better than last year's, or next year's Michigan State team will be weaker than this year's Michigan State team. And given that they just lost by 34 points, That's, you know, that, but it's not fair to say they're completely bankrupt. I'm not sure Brian was saying that.
I was.
I don't think they're completely bankrupt of talent either. I'm not even sure D'Antonio will be the coach there next year.
Yeah, that, I think that's, I mean, that's what he needs to figure out first, right?
He isn't quitting, but he's getting a $4.5 million bonus if he's the coach there in January.
Their athletic director was like hand-installed by Engler. And is like
and D'Antonio too, right? Wasn't he?
And he's like D'Antonio's like bro, like he does not have the stick to fire Mark D'Antonio. It's not happening.
Maybe D'Antonio doesn't want to be around another year. He sees the recruiting and he's like, let's sail off into the sunset.
I don't think that's true.
No, that's Captain Queeg right there.
Yeah,
he's coming back. Unless there's some damning revelation in this deposition.
You know, he kind of looks like Captain Queeg.
Yeah. One thing back on the offensive game plan. I don't think we've ever seen Michigan go into a rivalry game like this against not Ohio State and just been like, this is going to be a throwing-oriented game. And so that, I absolutely believe, is all Josh Gattis. And it was excellent. Like, to exploit the overreaction of the Michigan State linebackers repeatedly to get to the edge and to get a lot of easy chunk plays was something that we've been wanting Michigan to do since, I don't know, Lloyd Carr's second year. They did it in the Citrus Bowl when the Carr retired, and that was the last time.
That's been a long time.
Yeah, so it was nice to see Michigan go after the weak spots of...
Hey, so did you guys hear Urban Meyer talk about how Michigan just started... Look at how they're defending... these crossing routes. They just started bracketing crossing routes in the Notre Dame game. Did you see Urban Meyer talk about that?
Well, you know, Urban Meyer says a lot of, like, smart things, so I'm going to give him...
a pass?
A bit of a pass. Like, the worst thing about Urban Meyer on TV is he's so good at it.
Yeah, he is good, except when he's wrong.
Well, the adjustments that Michigan made are...
working.
I mean, they're also, like, constant now. Like, I think they were too high... 75% of the time. So this is a very different defense than it was last year. And that's been it's been good, and it's such a strange defense, right? Because their nose tackle is like 280. And
balling.
I mean, he's all right.
I think that guy, for where he came from,
yeah,
and how he is not a loss. You would think, you mentioned if nose tackle is 280, you'd think he's going to get mopped by double teams.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. I mean, it's not a stat position for most guys.
You're talking Carlo Kemp.
Carlo Kemp.
And we all want him back next year if there's any way for that to happen.
Well, so the thing that jumps out to me is that Michigan has four defensive ends on this defense. So they have Pay, they have Hutchinson, they have
Dana,
and then they have Uche. And they've managed to use all of them successfully. So, you know, you see frequently that these two guys who are just as big as the nose tackle are able to make up for the fact that Michigan doesn't really have strong defensive tackles as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
So you're seeing, you know, Hutchinson jump over a cut block and shut down a lot
play.
Of...
Yeah. That was a great play.
I mean, shut down a lot of space. So you have two, like, A-plus rush defensive ends.
Excuse me.
And then you have Uche, who's, I think, the top pass rush guy in the country on a per snap basis, per Pro Football Focus.
Think about this, guys, how good, and there's still season left this year, but Aiden Hutchinson and Quiddy Pay back next year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is a dynamic duo.
So the most interesting and surprising part of the game, I was watching it at home, and Don Brown was trending after Michigan State scored. And it was a lot of Don Brown's defense is sucking in rivalry games. This guy's terrible. And that kind of went away after that.
I got one of those.
And with Kemp, like, I don't think he was good in the beginning of the year. I didn't think the tackle play was very good at all through the first three games. And I feel like now I feel a lot of confidence in the defensive line.
I thought he really, really started showing up in the Iowa game. That's when I really started to notice.
Well, the interior lineman for Iowa might not have been the best.
And I want to say, I got to go back and look at a couple of plays, a couple of individual plays early in the season. They're all run together for me now. Where, granted, before the Iowa game, he made a few plays, but he shows up more when it comes to standing up those double teams than he did earlier in the season. So when I say he's balling, not balling in the Mike Martin sense where he is,
right,
where he is, you know, not just standing up to double teams, but destroying them and making the play himself. But this guy is no longer, like I said, a loss when you double team Carlo Kemp. You aren't clearing him out of there. Yeah,
one thing I can say about the defensive line that I've really liked is when they rush four, which is a lot these days, they're looping a whole lot or stunning a whole lot. And when you see teams do that, they often get out of their rush lanes. And this defensive line has had a lot of what's the word? They're very composed in that they don't get out of their rush lanes even when they're looping. And so it didn't give Lewerke, for example, any real opportunity to scramble out of people who've over pursued. They just sort of squeeze the pocket down. And that's something that's been better and better, I think, as the season's gone along. There's been a lot of discipline, I think, on the defensive line in terms of how they've handled their pass rush. So they've gotten to the quarterback some, but they've even been better at squeezing the quarterback and forcing uncomfortable throws.
Yeah,
so I've liked that a lot.
Lewerke had a 5-yard scramble in this game, but that was when they Michigan rushed three, which they haven't done all year. So, you know, it's a situation where I think there's this guy who's like a Michigan fan who's interning for Pro Football Focus, so he just keeps throwing out Michigan stats. So they lead the country in the number of plays where a quarterback either gets hit or sacked. And I went back and I looked at all the Power 5 games Michigan had, and they've given up under 2 scrambles a game for under 10 yards a game. And to have both of those things be true at the same time is really hard. Because, I mean, that wasn't true with Chase Winovich. Chase Winovich was a great player, but, like, Chase Winovich was relentless, so he would go around the corner, sometimes lose, and then you'd have an avenue to escape. And this is not that. This is the boa constrictor of a rush.
You feel like Aiden Hutchinson is going to be, and I love, now Chase is a tremendous player, but you got not just speed with Aiden, but you got a lot of power, too.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to, like, talk down Chase Winovich.
I know you aren't.
There's some more ups and downs. And the crazy thing about my grading is that, the defensive ends. Oh, someone else talk.
So one thing.
threw coffee at me.
No. One thing, the pressure rate.
And Fang poisoned Brian Cook before the show.
Hey, that's you, Sam. Yeah. Knowing how this show's gone.
Jeez.
The sack and the hit rate has been great. And none of that happened in the first two games against Middle Tennessee and Army, right? Army just for the way they play and Middle Tennessee because they just got the ball out so quick. So it's been an evolution of the defense. A lot of those numbers have come against, the better competition as they've gotten into conference play.
And it's really happy news that, Michigan doesn't have a lot to replace next year. I mean, it looks like they're...
Well, Levert Hill.
Yeah,
you better... you got to have Ambry come back.
Well, you got to have Ambry come back, but he's small, and the NFL may not be overwhelmed with him at this point. I don't know, but yeah. But if Ambry comes back, I mean, you're looking at help at corner, and you got Josh Ross, who's been redshirted. Mm-hmm. So McGrone has been a nice surprise.
Dax Hill is going to be a starter.
So
you just got to replace Hudson.
You have
a guy who looks like a pretty good candidate.
Yeah. So it's the good news is going into next year, you don't have a lot of questions on that side of the ball. You're looking at, can we fill in our offensive line and what does our quarterback look like?
Yeah. Let's get a phone call in real quick. We're late for a break. Mike in Ann Arbor, you're on the Michigan Insider. What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to try to offer an explanation for the trap game theory. I want to offer a caveat first. You know, we all agree that Ohio State is a different beast than Indiana and Michigan State, correct?
No one's going to say that. No one's going to disagree with that. Yeah. Ohio State is good, right? We agree.
Game planning. The game plan for Michigan State is probably going to work for Indiana, but at some point, Gattis and Harbaugh during that Indiana game are going to want to transition to to the game plan for Ohio State. And that's where the trap game concept comes in, because they get caught up sometimes. What do you guys think?
Well, I think Indiana is a really good team. In fact, if you look at yards per pass attempt, they're about net yards per pass attempt. They're about the same as Michigan. Wait,
the difference or on offense?
The difference, the delta.
The delta is the same as Michigan's?
Yep. Exactly,
really?
Almost identical. And since I'm a believer in net yards per pass attempt as a measure of team quality, there isn't a whole lot to choose, at least over the course of the season, between Indiana and Michigan. Now, Michigan is trending up, but maybe so is Indiana.
All right. So let's get to a break. We'll come back on the other side. I'll get your closing thoughts, because we went long in that segment. All right, guys, as we're back here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTK, online at WTK.com, here is the thing, folks. We are out of time, but our fellas, our guys in these final few minutes, want to get a few basketball takes in. So let's start with you, Craig Ross. Yeah, what's up?
My one-minute take is that the glimmers of DDJ are becoming more than glimmers, I hope. He played a good game this week. I saw some positives with Castleton and Johns and Nunez even.
Well, you got to be down on Nunez, man.
I'm not down on him. And with Franz in the wings, there's a lot that may be positive here. My concern so far, and it's limited data point, is that we're not holding our own on the boards. We're getting beaten up there. And we've turned the ball over, I think, too much, and we haven't created much in the way of turnovers. And those are tensions that have generally been, last year Michigan was a push on the boards and way positive on the turnover side, which led in significant part to the success of the team. Though you're not seeing those right now. Doesn't mean it won't change. Doesn't mean those numbers won't begin to turn around, but those are things that are sort of lurking clouds that I find bothersome.
So, Brian, we talked to Martelli, and the point you made about the analytics and what they say about mid-range jump shots, he confirmed that is a part of the thinking with the aspect of ball screen coverage that we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, that's BartTorvik.com has excellent data, and Michigan is forcing the 10th most far twos in the country right now, and they're giving up they're the third best team at preventing threes, so that's a really good situation to be in, because opponents are hitting 31% on those shots. So, like, you know, it's frustrating when they get the open 15 footer and they knock it down a couple times, as that Stanford transfer did against Elon, but like over the course of a game or a season, those are not shots that are going to win a lot of games for the opposition. So that's one of the reasons that Michigan isn't forcing a lot of turnovers on defense, because their defense is going to let you have the bad shots, and the rebounding does have to get better. Like, they have to be better on both ends of the floor at rebounding. But, you know, I think the turnover stuff is a lot of transition costs on offense and then just their style on defense.
Hey, Fang?
Yeah, I think the fingerprint of this team with Juwan Howard is going to be much different than John Beilein. You can kind of tell by the four factors that Dean Oliver originally came up with: turnovers, offensive rebounding, field goal shooting, getting fouled, which basically explains almost all of offensive and defensive efficiency. So I think it's interesting to look at how those numbers evolve when we get a decent sample size.
All right. Real quick, got to make it quick. Jake in Ann Arbor. Jake, what's up?
I just want to say a big congrats out to the Michigan volleyball team for beating Sparty last night. And I just wanted to say we all just need to enjoy it. We were just down to two games. I remember when it just started and stuff. One game, one play, one more time. I'll hang up and listen. Go blue. Win or lose, I'll hang up and listen. Go blue.
All right. That'll do it for today's show.
Better than